And George Richards, excellent work as always, covering the Panthers for The Athletic MIA, covering a hell of a game yesterday as the Cats were down 4-1. And George, I would imagine that a lot of us, because, I mean, it's only second nature, we're going, same old Panthers, but the boys responded.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think that a lot of people were thinking that because it's 4-1. You know, a minute into the second period, and, you know, you're just wondering what the heck is going on here, because it wasn't like, you know, Quenneville summed it up. He goes, it wasn't like New Jersey was dominating the Panthers. It was kind of like that Carolina game where just everything they threw up was finding a way in. And, you know, those are the kind of games that, you know, really hurt you down the road. But yeah, they were able to rally. Luckily, New Jersey is not quite as good as the Carolina Hurricanes are, and they get out of there with a much-needed victory.
Did they tell you at all, have you heard from, what was that moment? What was the switch? Did Coach Q just give them an absolute ass-ripping? What was it,
no,
dude? Because that was one hell of a turnaround, George.
They didn't do anything. I'm telling you, it wasn't like, I mean, it happened so quick that they were down 2-1 going into the second. Then boom, boom, it's 4-1. I think I'm, you know, minute five into the second. All of a sudden, they scored twice. There wasn't time to do anything. I mean, he didn't really switch up the lines. They just kind of went back out there and just kept doing what they were doing. They got a couple really nice kills. You know, one of the turning points I wrote about today was just that. Not long after they make it 4-1, they get another power play. And if they score there and make it 5-1, good night. That's it, right? And they're able to draw a penalty early in that power play, kill that off, and then they have a massive kill down the line midway through the period where they, you know, New Jersey just threw everything they had at them, and Bob, and they were blocking shots, and Bob was making saves. So there were turning points in the game, but nothing like that. Nothing like you would think. Nothing like, you know, the Q pulling Sasha Barkov off the ice and benching him. Nothing like that. There was no crazy stuff. It was just, all right, 4-1. Let's keep going.
I got to tell you that. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, sometimes you see, you know, like you said, you see crazy stuff, you know, tongue lash, you know. Just ripping the guys up and down and yanking the goalie. Nothing. It was just
it's
nothing.
And I got to tell you something. When Bobrovsky has got to be a little frustrated, right? Because his start here with the Panthers has not been as sharp as we would like. And then how much are we also blaming it on the guys in front of him too?
I think there's a little bit of blame. I don't think I think Bob has been really good for a majority of the time, but he's given up some bad goals. I think he'd admit that. Every goalie does, though, right? I mean, every goalie, there's a couple in there that you want to have back. And but he made some phenomenal saves yesterday after it had become 4-1. But it seemed like everything that the Devils threw up early on went in, and that's how they got those four goals. But, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of help in front. I think that there was a lot of, you know, puck mismanagement, a lot of guys that weren't playing terrific defensively. Guys who had been playing well kind of were slipping into some old habits, but then they just kind of fixed things. As time went on, they kind of figured it wasn't over yet. And, you know, once you get that first goal, make it 4-2, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's only two now, and there's, you know, we've got half a game left to play. That's the thing. It was 4-1 really early. It was 4-2 midway through the game, so they figured, you know, this is New Jersey. We're going to be able to get some goals.
What kind of a hard ass is Coach Q?
I don't know if he's as hard as a lot of people think. I mean, he's a no nonsense guy. He's a guy that demands accountability from his players, and I don't think players want to disappoint him because they feel like he can take things away from them that maybe other coaches couldn't. You know, I think that the power that he has within this organization, he can bench guys. He can take playing time away. He can, you know, healthy scratch you. Where I think other coaches didn't have that wherewithal within the organization or, you know, didn't have that solid footing. And I think Q, with that 5-year contract, obviously second highest paid coach in the league, his buddies with the GM. He's got a lot of power, kind of like Jimmy Johnson when he took over the Dolphins. Jimmy had power over a lot of things and was able to bench guys at will. And I think you can do that. If you tick Q off enough, he's going to do it. And I think they've seen it in Chicago. Guys have heard stories of Quenneville not caring about personal things and just benching it. And it's not personal to him. He's a guy with a great sense of humor, and I think he gets along really, really good with all of his players. But they do have that fear of him on the ice that if they do something wrong, they're going to have to pay for it one way or another.
All right. Well, George Richards, of course, from The Athletic, covering the Florida Panthers on a daily basis after Panthers got the win last night or yesterday afternoon against the Devils, coming back from 4-1 to win 6-3. Friday, they take on Colorado at the BB&T Center. By the way, the Dadonoff goal was crafty, dude. That was really, yeah. There's a guy going all out to score right there, dude.
Yeah. Dadonoff, I think, is one of those underrated guys. He's got so much skill. I mean, he is, and we saw it back in his early days with the Panthers. There was one year where he was the only Panther representative at the All-Star game, and he was like 19 years old. The kid's always been able to play. He's not a kid anymore, but, he looks like one. Just a lot of talent. Dadonoff, a very hard worker, back on that top line. Now he scored in four consecutive games after basically being benched by Quenneville in that Carolina game. There's a guy that got benched, and responded with a goal at the end of that Carolina game, and now he hasn't stopped. So, sometimes those things work.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. It's right, watching him score that goal, I thought that was like, okay, there's a dude selling all out and doing whatever. Mm-hmm. You can tell that the desperation set in with them. Like, you can tell when they were playing that the frustrations were coming out. Like, how in the hell are we down 4-1? One of those type of deals. They played with a chip on their shoulders from that point on, and to me, that's what I'm hoping rolls over into Friday against Colorado, that they come out with that kind of fire that they had towards the end of that game.
And listen, they're going to have to, because they're playing some really tough teams now. I mean, you look at the schedule, it was a tough schedule on its own, but now you look at Colorado. That's a team that's one of the youngest teams in the league. One of those very talented teams. They went to I think they were a second round team last year, undefeated right now. So they come into Sunrise playing with a ton of confidence, and they've got they can burn you. They can put 6-7 goals up on you. They've got good goaltending. They're Colorado's the real deal. And then on the next night, you've got to go to Nashville, Tennessee for a Saturday night date against the Predators. The last couple of years, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So they've got a really bad, really tough back-to-back where, there's 4 points out there. And, you almost look at that and you say, if you can get 2 points, you're doing pretty good.
So when you look at their team, okay, right now, are we just questioning maybe the defense in front of the goalkeeper? Because that's about the only thing that I'm not convinced that they have enough of yet. I love the goalkeeper. I love scoring. I think they have enough. You and I have talked about this over the years. Oh, they need a sniper. Well, with the amount of guys that they have offensively, you don't need that 50-goal sniper anymore. With Hoffman and Dadonoff.
Right. Hoffman's the guy.
Yeah, Hoffman's the guy. I mean, he may not be a 50-goal scorer, but he's a guy that could get into maybe the 40 mark. So,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So they don't need the scoring. Is that the only thing that we're kind of – and how long does that take with a new coach and a new system? Because I'm not smart enough. You are. How long does that take to kind of develop in front of the goalkeeper?
It can take time. I think, I tried warning people, right? I mean, in the preseason, I said, hey, this could be a work in progress for the first little bit. People don't want to hear that because, the history of this Panthers organization – is such that this is a team that always gets off to a slow start, no matter who the coach is, no matter what the systems are, they always get off to a slow start. Well, guess what? That might happen again this year, and here's the reason why. Because they are playing different systems. They're playing a different penalty kill, which actually seems to play to their strength. But as far as the defense goes, they've got a lot of guys that don't, that are more offensive minded than defensive minded. And that was by design. And it was by design for a plan that really didn't stick. You know what I mean? They wanted to play one way, and then the Tom Rowe thing and all that, and that disappeared. And now you've got a lot of puck moving defensemen who don't play a whole lot of sticky defense, and they're going to figure it out. I think they're getting better at it. I think we've seen improvements. I think we've seen the puck get cleared out a lot easier than we saw last year. I still see some things around the net. I still see some things down low where guys just slide into position unaccosted. One of the goals yesterday, guy just moved right in, chipped it right past Bob. Nobody there to slow him down, much less stop him. So things like that have to be cleaned up. Things like that should get cleaned up. I mean, they're fixable problems. It's just going to take maybe a little time for them to coach out some bad habits. And, you know, this staff is committed to doing that, and I think they're going to do that. They've done it before, and, they're going to find a way to get this done. And I think they're going to be able to win some games as they do it. But I think a lot of people were, you know, when they were 1-2-2 or whatever, and, oh, here we go. This team is talented. I mean, there's no doubt about the talent that's on this team. From the goaltender out, it's just a matter of everything getting put together. Scoring's going to come. We know they've got the scoring, right?
Yes, yes.
Scoring's going to come. The defense is going to be fixed. I think they'll be fine.
Okay, if the defense is going to be fixed, the other question that I have about the defense, which I'm sure you will have the answer for us here, are they physical enough?
No, they're not, right? I mean, because that's not their style. I mean, look at the guys that you've got. You've got Josh Brown that'll hit you. You've got Mackenzie Weegar who'll hit you. Anton Strawman, he's 33 years old or whatever, and he's been getting physical with some guys, but that's about it. That's not Keith Yandel's game. Mike Matheson doesn't really hit people. He's a skater. He's a mover. He's a guy that does other things. And Aaron Ekblad used to be that. Kind of changed his game a little bit, going more speed and stuff like that. So, they aren't very physical. But other guys can be. I mean, you don't need your defensemen, all six of them, to do that. You know, that's also the job of your forwards, and they've been getting that from their lower six, too. So I think we're going to see more physical play. We've seen more. I don't know how many games. If you've been watching them all, I think you're happy with the forechecking and the backchecking. They've been hitting more people than I remember the last couple of years. So I think it's coming.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt they are. They've gotten a little better in that department. I'm thinking playoffs. I'm thinking hopefully you make a run in the playoffs, you know. So I need you to raise it to, you know, four more levels up. Injury-wise, how are they right now going into Friday's game?
That's a good question. I think they're pretty good. I don't think anybody's hurt. They've been scratching Kizik, and they scratched Jace Hauerluck yesterday. Dennis Malgin, I don't think, is coming out of the lineup anytime soon if he keeps playing the way he does.
Yes.
So as far as injury, I think all the injury concerns they've got are at the AHL level. Nothing up here, so that's pretty good for them. You've got Noah Chari, just because of the way he plays. He had that fractured sternum or whatever from the playoffs last year. I think that's something that still bothers him. So I think they try to monitor him.
He's not playing like it. He doesn't play like it bothers him.
No. He goes all out, doesn't he? I mean,
wow, dude.
All out into the wall. Yeah, the guy's a monster. But I think they're trying to keep an eye on that and not let him get too crazy.
All right, before I let you go, what are you riding on at the Athletic so Panther fans can check you out, my friend?
Well, but thank you, Mr. Orlando. I just wrote something, you know, obviously summing up that game and the turning points in it, the penalty kills, things of that nature that they were able to keep it from getting too far out of hand yesterday. Also got a couple stories about how the road trip went and that kind of thing. And then we're going to have a bunch of stuff tomorrow and Thursday. So, full Florida Panther coverage at the Athletic. Come check us out.
And it's a joke. $4 a month, you get all your coverage of all the local teams in the entire damn nation for four stinking dollars. I mean, that's just ridiculous. George,
it's America's sports page, man.
That's right. Damn right.
Everything you want, man. We got it.
Right there. And brother, when you travel, which is the city that has the best food?
Ooh, good call. Well, New York City. I mean, New York City's got, you know.
That's the one you salivate every time you're going to go.
Yeah, you can eat gourmet food at 3:30 in the morning in New York. You know, nothing ever, you know, there's always something open here. Montreal has terrific food. And anytime we're, you know, Los Angeles, Southern California is pretty spectacular as well.
Devils, Rangers, Islanders. Well, you're lucky.
Yeah, I had a good week, man.
There are three different reasons to go to New York, and every time you go to eat out. All right, so favorite restaurant in New York?
Ooh. Which is the one that there's there's a pizza joint I can't remember. It was built into a church. Goldie took me there a couple years ago, and I just happened to find it. I totally forget the name of it. I always have to ask Goldie.
Pizza built into a church. Wow.
It's an old church in Midtown that they've been, and now it's a pizza place, and it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. They don't sell slices, only pies. It's awesome. It's really good.
Okay. And in Los Angeles, you said Los Angeles. Where you got to go in Los Angeles?
You got to go to In-N-Out Burger, sure. And there's all kinds of seafood places I like to go to in Manhattan Beach and you know, Venice Beach, and then now they've got all the fancy places downtown, where downtown Los Angeles used to be a ghost town, you know, and now it looks like South Beach. So there's a ton of different places down there that you can go to. LA's just good food all over the place.
Now we can play the song for missing persons walking in LA, because people now are walking in LA when they didn't before. Right?
No, you didn't. You got in your car, you parked, and then, you know, one of the 18 vacant lots, and, you know, just kept your head down and walked to where you were going. Now it's just really nice. Downtown LA is hip and hopping, baby.
It's a beautiful thing. And hopefully the Panthers will be hopping on Friday against the Avalanche at the BB&T Center. Load it up. Support the Cats. Support George Richards at The Athletic. Get all your Panther coverage there. Follow him on Twitter at George Richards and catch him at The Athletic MIA. George, as always, you are studly, my man. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. We'll talk later, bro.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. The great George Richards. I love it. Talking a little Panthers hokey. I really want the Panthers to do so well, man. I really root for them to do well. And George is a great guy. And this is hopefully they've got the right combination. Hopefully this is the coach with the goaltender can kind of put everything together and give us an exciting hockey season. Because that's really my hope in the winter sports, not that, you know, we really have winter down here, but whatever, that I don't expect the Heat to make a deep run in the playoffs. I just expect them to make the playoffs. That's about it. Unless Tyler is really our hero, you know, and then we can play the Bonnie Tyler song every night there at the arena, then maybe there might be something there, but that's a lot to ask of a youngin'. The Panthers are my hope for a long run into the playoffs.
You're putting your eggs in a better basket,
yes.
Obviously, with the Panthers.
Yeah.
We have waited
Plus, they've committed, man. They have. The ownership group has done everything possible to win. They deserve a winner, man.
Yeah.
And we deserve a winner, too.
The only thing is, I will say, everybody needs to keep this in mind, the Eastern Conference that we're in.
Think about Washington. Brutal.
You think about, obviously, the number one pre-seed, Tampa,
right across the way.
You got Boston. You got Pittsburgh.
Same characters.
Same classic characters, man,
that are at the top. And Florida's got to try to find their way into that spot.
Any of those four I just picked, if you look at different publications, they put them in the Stanley Cup. So you got four teams that are elite.
I know the team yesterday they played sucked. But if you watch the way they played that third period, play with that kind of urgency, and you'll be in every game. Period. They've got the talent. They've got the goaltender. They've got the coach behind the bench. You've got all the combinations. Get it done, man.
We just need to be more consistent.
Yeah.
and knuckleheaded mistakes and stuff. You know what we have a tendency to do? Turnovers in our own end and turnovers in the neutral. That ends up turning into a 2-on-1, yeah, a 3-on.
Yeah. The odd man.
Whenever we make that challenge. Whenever we have that turnover, it always compound, and we get paid for it. No. We pay for it
You're
immensely.
Right. You're right.